You know, I probably won't publish this podcast, but I've been like more than following. I've been advocating in New York politics recently about the choice. I can't vote for mayor of New York City because I don't live in New York City. I live in upstate New York in the mountains. But I lived in New York in the city for 9 years prior to moving here. And then I grew up in New York, and so I understand a little bit about the history of the city and about how power works in the city and about and overall I know about transformational leaders, people who are elected who are and I've fallen for it too, actually. I have. And many times, actually. Let's be clear about that. Now that I think about it, I'm a sucker for transformational candidates. It started with Jimmy Carter, and before that, John V. Lindsay was mayor of New York. And I believe it was in 1969 that he took office. In New York City, the mayor takes office on January 1st. And so on New Year's Eve, you get a new mayor. And there was a coincidentally in 69, I'm guessing, I think pretty sure that's the year, there was a massive snowstorm. And the city used to get those. And I don't, it doesn't happen so much anymore. But it was like many feet of snow accumulated all over the place. And at the very same moment, the sanitation workers went on strike. And guess who clears the snow on New York City streets? Yes, they put plows in front. Maybe they don't do this anymore. I haven't really watched carefully this, but they put plows in front of the garbage trucks, and the garbage trucks went through and plowed the streets. That's how the streets got cleared in snowstorm. Well, none of that happened. Here we had a transformational leader in John V. Lindsay, who go look him up and take a look at his picture. I mean, this guy looked like Robert Redford. This was shortly after JFK was president of the United States and got assassinated. So he had the mannerisms of somebody that probably wouldn't be very popular today. Of super elite Harvard tone to him, and very sort of, I mean, he was the most attractive person you could imagine for mayor of the city. The problem is that it's New York City, and in New York, they don't have a lot of a respect for people like John V. Lindsay, especially the New York Police Department and the sanitation workers. Probably the teachers' union didn't like him. The unions, I'm not going to say the unions run New York City. Lots of forces run New York City, right? But they're one of them, and it is valid to say they run the city. Or more valid is you can't run the city without their support. And so that limits the kind of person you can elect mayor in the city that'll be effective. We just had one prior to Adams. De Blasio was the mayor, and he was another one of these transformational candidates. You know, I'm going to come in, I'm going to clean everything up, you're going to get all the goodies, everything's going to be great because I get you. He's talking to the voters. And the voters hear that and they say, yes, I see that you get me and that, you know, whatever. I'm in love with you, I will vote for you. And because I love you and you love me, we're in love. So of course, well, you see, that's the mistake most voters make, and I raise my hand. I've made that mistake myself, so I'm not excluding myself from this. Is that you don't, and I heard this said, it was said beautifully in The Nation. Now I can't remember her name. There's a great thing. Let me go. I have a note on this, actually. Let me find it because it's worth getting this right. I quoted it in my podcast. Wait a minute. This is embarrassing. I should have prepared this. Oh, no. Nope. There we go. The name of this podcast is Hold Your Nose and Vote for Cuomo. didn't work, but not that I expected my thing. Her name is Rebecca Solnit, and it was in The Nation. And the quote is this: think of voting as a chess move, not a Valentine. In other words, the fact you have to be, I would say it's even more that you have to ignore the fact, the love factor in this. But I would actually go further and say, consider that a warning sign. If you find yourself wanting to vote for somebody because you love them, consider that a negative. Especially if it's in a place, in a city in the United States of America. I can't talk about other countries, although I think it's probably true there too. It's a major city, and you're in love with the guy that you're voting for, the person that you're voting for, then that's a negative. What it is, you're trying to move a piece. It's a chess move. You're moving a piece in front of something to balance its power, or maybe just to work with them, or to show them that, it's not... Politics is about compromise. It's not my way or the highway. That's the problem with love, is because that person comes into power thinking they are empowered to transform everything, and God damn it, they're going to do it, and it never fucking works. You know, that was Barack Obama. I mean, he came into power with, and I voted for him, and I gave the maximum to him, and I campaigned for him, and I thought, my God, if we can elect this guy, how great will the United States be? And then when he got elected, it was like I was on cloud nine. I was on, holy shit, I can't believe I lived to see this happen. I was thinking about all of the civil rights leaders that were still alive in 2008. And how must they feel? Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, John Lewis. These people were all there. And I was, and there's, some of them are still there, actually. But and I thought, how must they feel? How would Martin Luther King feel if he were alive? You know, this is, it's behind us now. That is what I thought. This is all behind us now. We are a country that has managed to transcend our history, and it's big history. Slavery is, and what we learned, and this is why you have to hold your nose and vote for people like Cuomo, is we learned it is not about transformation. You can't take a country or a city. In this case, mayor of New York. Yes, it's going to be a national role. Everybody was saying, oh, it's a terrible place to go because it's a dead-end job. That's a bunch of bullshit. That hasn't been true since COVID. Probably hasn't been true since 9/11. You know, it's like New York City is the focal point of a lot of shit that's going on. And you better believe it's going to be the focal point in all this ICE shit, which is not over. Do you think it's over? It's not over. Not over. I mean, if you think it's over, well, first think. You don't think it's over, do you? You feel it's over. Because in your mind, you know it's not over. Because you understand in your mind that you've been tricked. In your heart, though, you have been tricked. And you think, well, that's behind us now. We don't have to worry. It's quite possible that the timing of everything that Trump does, all the way to the bombing of Iran, was just to take your eyes off of it so you would elect this dude to be the mayor of the city instead of Cuomo. Because Cuomo is Gavin Newsom times two. Maybe Gavin Newsom times three. And Gavin Newsom has done a good job of standing up for California. You know, you see Padilla give a speech, and you know that his heart's in it. You can feel it. He really thinks this is important. But he's not that kind of leader. He's not the kind of person who gives a speech where you go, I'm going with this guy, because there's a fragility to him. He's not a great leader. I don't even think he was elected. Not sure. He was appointed. He may have run for election since he was appointed. Yes, he's the senior senator. I don't remember. whatever. He isn't the leader. Newsom's closer to it. Newsom is very good. If we had never had Trump, I think Newsom would have been like a ringer, totally just a shoe-in for president, for a Democratic nominee for president. He was going there. And maybe he still is. Maybe he has stuff that we haven't seen yet. Sometimes, you know, it's like we just went through the NBA playoffs, and it's amazing how people, well, the people who make it to the finals, how they grow at every step along the way. It's almost a question of how much of this can you take and still stand up with your pride, and how many injuries will you have in the process, because it wears people down, you know, the players. It happened in last, not this season, but last season. The Knicks were very good. They had a great team. The problem is they kept getting injured. And it was always next man up, next man up. And finally, there was really nobody left. And they lost. And it was fine. They did lose because of the attrition, you know. And so sometimes people develop in the process. Possible Newsom will do that, you know. But the guy that they chose, and this is the whole process, and I think you have to blame. I hate to fucking blame people, okay? Because whatever, because it's pointless, really. But you do have to kind of keep score, and so that next time they make a move, then you understand. Then you understand that they're not infallible, and that they could make an endorsement that would be a very bad choice for people. And I just wrote something, and nobody's going to read it. I wrote it on Blue Sky, and so I don't even remember the guy's name. His first name begins with a Z, and I mean, I haven't even had time to learn his name, and I just so totally think we've been here so many times, and why do we have to do this again? Ugh. AOC is the reason this guy is going to be mayor, probably. I mean, it's not a foregone conclusion. I absolutely hope Cuomo runs as an independent, and I hope he kicks his ass. I really do. And if he can't kick his ass and can't vote him out, then I was wrong about Cuomo. But I think Cuomo is the guy we want to put up against Trump. I actually think he's perfect for it. I think he's absolutely perfect. And this is where it becomes a bit of a chess move. And I'm skeptical about chess moves in politics, but I really do think that it's time that the Democrats had a little bit, a sense of cynicism. And that they maybe don't come straight at the problem. Maybe they come in, they go around the side, and they come at it from the side instead of head on. The problem is that all of these visionary, transformative candidates that get elected, they make some people want to puke. And they also make it easy to play the victimization story to them. And that's what the Republicans do. They say, well, we've been victimized by all this woke bullshit. And this, the stupid thing, I mean, Republicans do a lot of things, and they say a lot of things. But on this one, which is a viscerally emotional thing, because, by the way, there's a lot of people who have been pushed aside by the woke philosophy. They really have. You know, it's a lot of it is about certain groups of people getting their revenge. It's not necessarily productive. You know, I look at all the things that have happened in, you know, Democratic politics. I've lived in Democratic cities my entire life. Even New Orleans is a Democratic city. In deep red Louisiana, it's very, very much a liberal bastion. Same thing, I haven't lived in Salt Lake City, same thing true in Salt Lake City, Utah, like totally Republican, locked in, but Salt Lake City's a liberal city. It's like that everywhere, and it really is exclusive, and it pushes people away. And it says makes generalizations based on race and based on age and based on gender. And it pushes people away. And it makes them want, it makes them receptive to the victimization story that the Republicans tell so well. Well, I think that it wouldn't be a terrible idea to really blow that up. And I know it's cynical. In this case, the fact that Cuomo was kicked out of office by the fucking New York Times, excuse me, but I'm really angry with them about a lot of things, and this is one of them, he didn't get voted out by the state government, by the legislature. He just did get voted out by the voters. Okay, so, well, that has happened now. So that part of my shtick doesn't work anymore. He did get voted out. It worked, you know. But it's also true that they've completely forgot about ICE. If ICE were big news in New York City right now, as it's going to be in about, I don't know, 5 minutes. I mean, I really, in my heart, believe they were waiting for this moment. That now they can go. They can go attack because there's nobody to defend New York. Kathy Hochul is good. Kathy Hochul did something I thought heroic when she stood up for the congestion pricing. And for whatever reason, Trump, the fucking president of the United States, took an interest in a transit policy in the city of New York. I mean, it's like very far removed from anything he has authority over. But he does that. He likes to tell Harvard what to do. And, you know, he wants to tell everybody what to do. This is his shtick. He may not even care about the things he wants them to do or not do. It's just the act, I got to tell you what to do. So you do what I want. And then, you know, maybe they want to do it or not. Kathy Hochul said, that's crazy. This is the best thing we've ever done. Everybody agrees that was like, why did we worry so much? Because this is great. Everybody loves it. The people who pay for it love it because they don't have any traffic to deal with. And the people who don't pay it love it because the streets are frickin' empty. And what a nice feeling that is, to be able to walk around in New York. I mean, that's a big deal. That's the kind of thing a smart government does. It looks for win-wins like that. And this was a total win-win. And Kathy Hochul stood up for it. And she did it good. She did it good. She did it in a New York way. And that's reassuring. So, okay, she'll do really well. But after that, it's really fucking dismal. It's really sad. Who is going to stand up for New York? Well, it isn't going to be Mayor Adams because he's a freaking hostage. He's being held hostage by, literally, if he doesn't do what Trump wants, his ass is going to be in jail. And they're doing that using the freaking Constitution. You know, that's how much we depended on the honor of the president, you know? A lot more than we believed, than everybody would ever believe that we depended on their honor, because anyone could have done this. It probably has been done, but they're doing it openly now. So don't look to Adams. Adams is, he might as well work for the Trumps. He is a Trump. You know, Schumer? Seriously? You kidding? You think Schumer's going to do anything? He'll write a very strongly worded letter. He's a caricature. If this were like a great comedy, you know, like, I know he's not popular, but if it were like an early Woody Allen movie, well, they would cast the senior senator from New York with exactly Chuck Schumer. Gillibrand? No. God, do I hate her. I mean, I vote for these people because the only other choice is Republican, but for crying out loud. You know, people complain, why can't the establishment nominate people that we love? It's a good question. Shouldn't you be able to have both things? But look at the politicians who really get shit done. None of them inspire love. Really, none of them do. But they get shit done, and that's what you want. You don't need to love them. You need them to do the right things for you. So, and Hakeem Jeffries, No, I don't see him. AOC will do a good job standing up for New York, but she's a congressperson and she's young and, as we've seen now, I think inexperienced. I think that was what this was. She is hung up on being transformational. She is transformational. And the House of Representatives is a good place to put transformational people to get the shit knocked out of them so that they learn that politics is a much bigger thing. And she's so smart that she learns everything. I believe this. And she's, you know, I saw her speech at the DNC last year, and it just said, that's a president, but not now, not yet. She's not there yet. And this thing wouldn't have happened if she hadn't endorsed Mr. Z. So I don't know. I wanted to kind of, you know, since I did this Hold Your Nose, the Hold Your Nose podcast episode, I felt I should do this too. This is the postscript of that. It ain't over yet. And it could be the Z Man is going to turn out to be the biggest hard ass, tough guy. He'll stand up to the NYPD. They will see, or maybe the NYPD has changed. It's possible. I moved out 5 years ago. Maybe they've changed in the last 5 years. No, they haven't, but maybe they did. I don't know. Could happen. I just think that I felt, I'm going to leave you with this. I really was inspired by the leadership of Cuomo during COVID. We needed him so desperately. There was nobody in the entire United States that did what he did. Which, you know, if you give him the job of mayor or something, or something of something, give him a platform to stand on, he can do it again. And yes, some people, you may have, I might have to hold my nose, okay? I mean, I don't know. Well, life gives you tough choices. That's really maybe the single most important thing you can say about politics. Is nobody said it should be easy. It won't be, because it's a torturous thing to get consensus, but at some point you have to. You have to. And that's what we're doing now, and it's wild. The all the different polls. 1 year it's Biden, the next year it's Trump, and now we're back to, oh God. Well, anyway. It's interesting, isn't it? All right. Thank you for listening. Talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.